Hi, welcome to Metal Brain. I'm Heather Miller. Let's learn together. Today my guest is Joni Sprague. Joni has a fascinating story. She's currently the carpenter on the TLC show Trading Spaces. Her season finale just aired this last week, so if you missed it, no worries, she will be back for season two. I feel so privileged that I've had the opportunity to sit down with Joni and hear a little bit of her story. She's a compelling, beautiful human being with a fascinating story. Enjoy. Thanks for sitting down with me.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so I was looking at your Instagram just to kind of get a feel for you. Are you a fellow Welsh Corgi fan? Because I saw that you went to SoCal Corgi Beach Day.
I love Corgis so much. They're the most awkward, funniest little dogs. And I love them. If I could have a dog, that's what I would want. I know. But I just don't have time for a pet right now.
I am the same. Yeah. To be honest, I'm a little bit Welsh Corgi obsessed.
Me too. I follow, like, I think 14 Corgis on Instagram.
My whole feed is corgis.
Yeah,
I've never actually met anyone face-to-face that has the same thing.
Yeah.
And when I see one, I get so excited. So then my siblings are always
too,
like, texting
me. Yeah. And they tag you in YouTube videos and stuff.
Did you happen to get the story that I sent you? It was like of a corgi doing like the limbo bar.
Oh, yes. And then he was like sliding under. I was like cheering for him. I'm like, yeah.
I seriously watched that like five times. I've always been telling the kids, because they've been knowing, like, it's been a years thing, this corgi thing. And they're like, when I get the podcast going and I really know what I'm doing well, just because it's taken a lot of like energy to figure out some of the equipment and stuff, like, we'll get the corgi. But now that I'm actually doing it, I'm like, could I do it? For like optimistic, you know, I just, this might be the year. Maybe
if you do get one, I'm coming over.
So my podcast, Metal Brain, is all about exploring resilience of human nature. And you are one metallic human, to do a little play on words there. I just am so excited to be able to share you with who's ever listening. Could we start a little bit with your origin story? And I can just hear a little bit about your background.
Yeah. I am from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, which is about 10 miles from the Ohio border and 30 miles north of Pittsburgh. So it's, it used to be a booming area, you know, even 30, 40 years ago, it was totally different. But now it has become a very depressed area. There's everything's getting shut down, boarded up. Like, there's not a lot going on there. But back in the day, it was like super rich with culture, and there's a lot of, ethnicity. Like, back there, there's a lot of, like, Hungarians and Germans and Croatians and Polish, and there's a lot of that food and stuff still there, which is really fun. So if you ever go back to that area, you can go to, like, get some of the best food that you would have never, like, had in your whole life. Totally different than what you would think. There's a lot of Italians there, a lot of really great, like, university circuit, I guess you could say. So we've got, like, Carnegie Mellon, Pitt. There's a Juilliard type school, like, but it's not Juilliard, but it's like a performing arts college in Pittsburgh. There's so many great schools there. Pittsburgh is just amazing. And a lot of people kind of don't give it, you know, a second chance, and they don't even want to go there. They're just like, what's in Pittsburgh? The Steelers, you know, which is probably the best thing in the world, by the way, the Steelers. But it's such a cool, cool town. And my whole family still lives there. Everybody's still there. And I've got brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews, and my mom, and everybody lives there. But my dad lives in Ohio. I lived in Pittsburgh till I was about 16. I say Pittsburgh, but in that area till I was about 16. And then I moved to Ohio, and I lived in Findlay, Ohio, in that area for about 4 to 5 years. And then I moved back to Pennsylvania. So I finished high school, did some college in Ohio, and then I moved back to Pittsburgh. And, Yeah, I love it. It's a very special place, but I just don't know if that's somewhere I want to move back to, because like I said, there's really not a whole lot going on there. Mm-hmm. And I love my family, but I feel like I'd be better served in a larger city, like, you know, like LA,
yeah,
or Orange County.
So that's like me. I don't have any family here. I'm curious.
It's tough.
People that are in Ohio or even Pittsburgh, is that common for people to be raised and kind of stay in the area? Not oftentimes people leave.
Yeah, it's kind of rare that people leave the area. There's nothing wrong with staying in the area. I think it's a wonderful place to raise kids. It's a great, it's just so green and lush, and you can go outside of town and be in farm country within like 5 minutes.
Wow.
So your kids can really grow up with a very enriched childhood. I mean, there's lots of woods to play in and rivers and waterways, and you get the four seasons there. It's really great. That's like my sister and her children live there, and she's got three. And then I have another sister who's got a little boy. So it's just like seeing them play outside and like catch lightning bugs. I'm like, that's awesome. That's a really fun childhood.
So you have one sister and then...
I have three sisters.
Three sisters.
And a brother.
And a brother.
Mm-hmm. My dad's a pastor.
Oh, really?
So he's got a congregation that really needs him. I mean, he does a lot of, funerals and weddings and planning things. And so it's hard for him to get away. But when he does, he would love to come out here.
So... I'm curious, when you were in Ohio,
yes,
I know that you were on America's Next Top Model,
yes,
ANTM.
Yeah.
So how did you get discovered?
So when I was in college, I started modeling, I think it was my freshman year, just really, really wanted to be a model. I had wanted to be a model since I was a little girl.
Really?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Because back in those days, the 90s model was like, you know, the Kate Moss, the Christy Brinkley's, you know, all that. And they were super skinny and like that very like waify look was in. And I was just an ugly little kid. I was super skinny. Everybody made fun of me. But I thought, I look like them because I'm so skinny. So I always looked up to models because I always thought I could do it. But when I was a freshman, I went to this thing called Pro Scout event. It's like a thing you pay money to go to, but you meet like 20 agents at once. And I got the most callbacks of anyone there.
Whoa.
And I got several agencies that wanted me to come to New York like right away. And that was like maybe two days before 9/11 happened.
No way.
And I had a contract in my hands for a modeling agency in New York. And then they were like, we're going to have to wait, obviously, because things are crazy here. So I waited about 3 months and then I went to New York and it was terrifying. Like New York's crazy. And as a 19-year-old kid from like Ohio, Pennsylvania, I was not prepared. So I did not stay long. I went back to Pennsylvania and I modeled kind of locally. I did stuff in Cleveland and Pittsburgh and just everywhere that I could drive. And so I did that for a couple years. And then I had a photographer who told me, hey, you know, they're doing the America's Next Top Model auditions at this bar in Pittsburgh. You should totally come. And I'm like, I would love to come. That'd be so cool. And I went, auditioned, and then it just was like a snowball out of control. It was like, I made the prelims. I made the finals. I got on the show. And it was just like, so I think... Yeah, I think if it wasn't for Becky telling me about the audition, I would have never known. So I'm just so grateful for all the people that you meet in life and all the random, you know.
Exactly. I got connected with you through a mutual friend.
Yeah.
And like,
isn't that so crazy?
We didn't know each other. I'm like, you're just fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just, I love it. Especially, I never thought that networking would be a thing that I really like liked, but I love, Allison, I feel like I'm clicking into like, wow, you share what's in your awareness, like the people, what's going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, someone yesterday just told me about these great summer camps for kids, and it is my favorite way to like learn about people, places, food to go. It's just like through each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Wow. So, and you just got it.
I just got it. I really put every single part of me into that audition. I was like being silly and goofy and just like saying outlandish things to try to get attention from the casting directors. Like I really wanted it. And I mean, I was shaking and they called my name and I'm like, I'm on the show. I was just so excited. And then the rest of it was just, I couldn't have, I mean, to make to get second place was just unbelievable. Like, you go the whole way through and you're just like working so hard and trying to take these pictures, and all of a sudden you're at the final two and you're like, oh my gosh, like, you can't believe it. So I'm so honored to have gotten that far, but I'm totally cool that I didn't win. A lot of people are like, oh, aren't you mad? I'm like, no, I'm totally cool with it, because the girl that won, I think she was 5 or 6 years younger than me anyways, and she really wanted it, I think more than I did. So I was okay with that, because you could see the look on her face and you're like, yeah, you want this. You need this. And I'm like, cool with that. Wow. So, yeah.
So it was a positive experience.
It was a great experience. Wonderful. It opened my eyes to the industry, the good and the bad, like the cutthroat, the really hard side of the industry. But it also opened my eyes to television and how they make it and how it's totally not what you think it is.
Yeah. Can you shed a little light on that?
Yeah. So on the show, every time we do an interview, we wear the same shirt. Every single time. We have to do our hair the exact same way every single time, because they can cut and paste that wherever they want. So that's one of the things I didn't like about the show, is that I could be sitting there having a conversation and say, you know, and the producer will lead you, well, she said that you were a nasty person to her. What do you think about that? I'd be like, oh, she's a brat. I don't like her. And then they could doop doop and snip that wherever they wanted to. So when I experienced that, I thought, oh, this is a little bit. It was a little bit of shade here.
Right.
You know what I mean? Other than that, I mean, I loved it. I would never do another reality show.
Really?
No. No way. You'd have to pay me a lot of money. Because it's just gotten to the point where reality TV is just so terrible.
I think I heard like Jerry Seinfeld say this. Like, I think he was watching the Kardashians or something. And he's like, I just don't understand. Like, I had to work so, so hard to get on television.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like,
how anybody.
Yeah.
I know. It's so sad.
That's interesting that it seems like there's a little bit of a takeaway. Like, you think this is going to be the process to get on TV, and now it's just like its own beast.
Mm-hmm. It's completely different now. And that was 12 years ago when I did that, and it was very different back then. And now it's completely different.
So did you think that you would continue into media after that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I've always known that I was meant to do something outwardly, like performing or art or whatever, theaters in some regard, you know. Being able to, you know, do that show, it opened so many doors. And it kind of led me into the career that I'm in now. But, I mean, I had a lot of stuff to handle on the way to that career. There was, like, I did a lot of modeling. I traveled a lot. I did that for a good 5 or 6 years after the show. And then I just was like, I'm done. Because I think, you know, if you can still model past the age of 33 even, you're doing something right.
Wow.
If you can maintain that body and maintain that face and like,
whew,
I mean, good for you. But at 30, things just changed for me. Not only my body, but like my mind. I just didn't want to work for a runway show for $100. Like, that's what models get paid, maybe $500 for a runway show. Unless you're a super big model, then you get more money. But I just was like, no, I'm over this. I'm over it. So the last runway show I did, the girl behind me was 14. And I was 20.
Jeez.
I think I was 28.
Wow.
And I was like,
you were like,
what?
The straw that broke the camel's back.
I was like, what am I doing here? I'm done. I'm so done.
Good for you.
Yeah. So.
Wow. Well, Joni is currently the carpenter on Trading Spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. The range, just that story in and of itself blows me away. I know one woman in my life, in my like awareness, that is handy. One.
Mm-hmm.
How did your progression move that way? That even when you were working with your hands, to then being able to have the confidence that I can make stuff for other people, to let's just put you on television. like give me a little bit of the progression.
Yeah. So I've always been a handy kid. like I said, being from Pennsylvania, there's lots of like dead trees and hollows and back alleys. And back then it was safe to run around the neighborhood, right? So we would do, we would, you know, collect these rocks and sticks and boards and pieces of plywood. We'd make little forts and stuff like that. So I've always been building stuff, always. My whole life, I excelled at shop class. I was always really good at that kind of stuff. Helped my dad a lot. Before he became a pastor, he was kind of like the elder in the church. He was one of like the, and one of his gifts was being handy. He was a glazer. He's familiar with construction. So he was very, very handy. He did a ton of stuff around people's houses and at the church. So I'd go with him and he'd hand me tools and, you know, we'd build stuff or fix things, and very familiar with that. I think a tomboy by nature. I'm girly in a lot of ways, but I'm also just not afraid to keep my nails short and get dirty, or, you know, lift things that are heavy. I just have that kind of side of me. So my mom also too is a very big tomboy, and she's like a hunter, a fisherman. She likes cars. She worked in a steel mill. Like, she's a very tough person. So being around like a stronger person like her, and, you know, and my dad too, that was like, I think, kind of really shaped me.
Oh, this is so embarrassing. My husband was painting. We have like the, you know, older units here in California. We had like the popcorn ceiling. We kind of learned, if you paint it, it just looks cleaner, like absorb the paint anyways. But he had kind of assembled something so we could get really high. We didn't have a ladder anyways. Oh, he needed help moving something. And oh gosh, it was just, I knew it was a stretch and I need to work my core, but I like moved it and it,
oh, Joni, it was so bad.
But at least you tried. And I think that's the one thing when it comes to being handy. You just have to start somewhere. Just try to do it. I mean, even if it's something small, like, you know, learning how to yield a hammer the right way, or take a bit in and out of a drill, or, you know, just sand something. Just start little.
Start little.
And then you'll just progress and progress. And I think that's kind of what happened to me. I just started doing things on my own and I figured it out.
Okay, so like illustration, where can you remember even like one of the bigger things where you were like, this is a stretch for me. Most people don't try to do this, but I'm going to, you know, you had that desire. Like, what was one of the first things that you made?
One of the first things I made? Gosh, probably a cigar, a humidor, like little box.
Cool.
That was really one of the first projects I spent a lot of time on, and like hours in the garage and lots of sanding and oil and just making it really pretty.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, I should keep this. But my roommate at the time was like, I really love this. And I'm like, you know what? You can have it. I just wanted to give it to him. And he's like, no. I can't take it for free. I was like, all right, how about 6 months of utilities?
Joni, that's fantastic. That is so cool.
Just stuff like that. Just everything I make, I give it away, or I do it for like free or cheap. It's not worth it for me to try to be like, oh, that's $300.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a legendary carpenter to where I'm making like these amazing things. I'm still quite a beginner in a lot of ways. But I mean, if you need any tile work done or drywall hung, or I could do all of that stuff. Do a lot more than just carpentry.
I'm such a fan. I think that's so cool.
You let me know what you need.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So fun.
So congratulations on getting the next season of your show greenlighted.
Thank you. That, you know, it was a short season. We only had 8 episodes. So we were like kind of, they were feeling it out to see if it would be like well received and how people would like it. And people were thirsty for more. They're like, 8 episodes, that's not enough. We need more. So hopefully, we have no idea how many episodes the next season will have, but hopefully it will be like a lot. Because people love this show. This show is like the first home improvement show, which is a huge honor to be a part of, because it's something I watched in college, which was like nuts.
Any mythbusters about women and being handy that you'd like to shed some light on that just is not true?
Let's see. I think, you know, just because you're handy doesn't mean that you are a tomboy necessarily.
I know, and I think a model and got second place. on America's Next Top Model.
There you go. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, it doesn't mean you're a tomboy, and there's a lot of, you know, people guess your sexuality might be different than what they would assume as well, which
Thank
is totally not true.
That.
It's not the case. I think there's a lot of women out there who are beyond talented, and also too, the female touch can really, like, you know, translate into the handy world. I mean, you could be even better at doing tile than a guy, or you'd be even, you know, you have a lighter touch. Maybe you'd be better at finished carpentry, or, you know, doing certain things that maybe a guy would be really difficult for them to be as lightly, you know, touching something. But it's awesome. I think women are really good. I've seen women frame out houses, lay brick. Like, it's just insane. Run electrical, like stuff that I would never do. I'm like, wow, girls doing that. Like, that's major props. But women are just awesome, and we're not like all butchy. Right. We're all very, we can be very feminine and still be in this industry. But you always really knew. I just wanna be with you.
So one of my takeaways when we had coffee the other day, which I just loved, is that I think tell me if I'm wrong. I don't know if these were your words, but you said something along the lines of like, when you're in your life experience, you've kind of learned how to kind of just say, all right, how am I going to 2.0 this? And you just put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you really, really want something, like, you have to do that, even if you're super scared. And I deal a lot with self-doubt, big time.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. As I sit here, I'm in my own head right now thinking I'm not good enough. I constantly battle with that. I think a lot of it has
to. Like, shame has two faces. Who do you think you are? Or I'm not enough? Totally not.
Absolutely.
In the not enough camp.
All over the place. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, growing up and not having money and being bullied and being not attractive and, you know, just dealing with that as a kid. Once you become an adult, if you can overcome that, all the bad things, you have an understanding and a compassion for other people too. And I think, you know, that helps a lot too. It's easier to get in front of someone if you can relate to someone. And when I put myself out there, I'm very open and honest, and I'm just like, this is me, you know, this is who I am. I hope you like it. And I think people, they do like that. I think they like that I'm not showy. I'm not self-seeking. I've tried not to be.
You really try to be
as humble as I can be, just because I know it's like, it's hard for people. You know, you might be sitting there and I just met you, and maybe you just really don't like yourself, you know, and I just want to relate to you. I just want to, like, be your friend, you know? It's like the weirdest thing. You just doubt yourself like crazy.
Well, I think that trap of when you flow through, like, if you have self-doubt, you're kind of wanting to prove yourself. And it's just like, it's an endless.
You'll never get
to this space where you think you made it.
Yeah. And it's never enough, too. And also, like, you know, when you look at Instagram, and listen, I hate social media. As much as it seems to be valued in this world, it's just so terrible. You wonder why we all, like, want to get plastic surgery and, you know, look a certain way, or you get jealous. Mm-hmm. You have these feelings of, like, anxiety. It's just we're constantly looking at all of the awesome parts of someone's life without realizing that, like, maybe they're actually struggling, or maybe they're not happy at all. And sure, they might make more money than you do, and be able to go to Cancun,
yeah,
whatever. But It just, it tears you apart. It tears me apart. And I absolutely hate it. If I could never get on Instagram again, I would. But I think with my job, there's a little bit of that that has to happen. You have to get on and post about your show and stuff like that. But gosh, do I hate it. I mean, just think about how much different our lives would be if we weren't constantly comparing ourselves to the highlight reels of others. It would just be so much better. Like, I miss the days of, like, answering machines. And, like, you know what I mean?
Joni, me too. It's so funny that you were saying that. Crazy. I love the feeling. Oh, my gosh.
Remember when you get home and you, like, run to the machine? You push the button. You're like, yes!
Yes!
Mike called me.
Well, and I almost don't think it's helped. It's just funny how it's supposed to – you're so connected. But it totally breeds more disconnection.
Oh, absolutely.
And I totally believe in that Brené Brown line, which is, like, vulnerability drives connection. And, like, there's just – and even when you people are vulnerable on social media, sometimes it's, like, really not vulnerability. It's, mm-hmm. like, masked.
Yeah.
To, like
– absolutely. Yeah. And it's just – I think the more you put out there, it's, like, you're just – to me, it's you're showing how insecure you are.
Well, you just seem so full, like your tank is just full to me. And considering that you were like poking fun that your mind is running so fast, like I feel like I do know pretty well what it's like to be around people with anxiety. Just
anxiety and depression are always with me.
But still, you're so comfortable to be around. And you know, it's the notorious thing about anxiety is it kind of makes it – that's not easy energy to be mm-hmm. around. And you're just so – you feel very comfortable in your skin and enjoyable to be around.
Thank you.
I mean, how do you think that you've kind of filled your tank necessarily? I experience you as a very grateful person. You're mm-hmm. incredibly empathetic. Mm-hmm. But you just don't really have much like victim – or martyrdom in there.
I know. That is odd. I mean, to give you a little light on how I grew up, I mean, I really didn't have a mom at all. She was not there. And as much as she claims that she was, or maybe she feels like she is more now, but she wasn't when I was little. I was a very neglected little girl. I saw way too much too early. And, you know, and then on top of that, being bullied at school for being poor and skinny and wearing glasses and the whole nine yards. I hated being a kid. I couldn't wait to grow up, to get out, to do something else.
Right.
But I am grateful for those friendships that, like, I still have now. So, like, youth group, I had such good friends. Better friends in youth group than I did at my school.
Wow.
I think I had one friend in school.
Was that just through, like, your church?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, through church. And back then, it meant so much to go to youth group. We couldn't wait to go to youth group. We'd go Wednesdays and Sunday nights, and it was like we had our friends. We did skits together. We went to camp together. It was such a strong community. And even to this day, I mean, I'm calling and texting some of these kids from that group 2-3 times a week. I mean, they're my friends. One of the guys who I went to church with, my husband and I had two weddings. We had a Pennsylvania wedding and a California, like, kind
oh,
of
nice.
Second wedding for people out here. He walked me down the aisle the second time. He's that close to me. So I'm so thankful for the church, for, like, growing up in it. And even though I'm not, you know, I'm more of a spiritual person now, I think still that the community within churches is so important.
It is.
It's wonderful.
What would you say is something that you love to claim about yourself?
To claim about myself?
Mm-hmm. What that you just love about yourself?
I can make people laugh. That's really fun.
That is really fun.
I noticed that. And it's not to the point where I'm like, you know, I'm just going to be the next Amy Schumer or something, right?
I actually love her.
I do too. She's funny. But I we're at dinner parties and I just have people rolling, laughing. I'm like, I like that about myself. I don't know what I'm saying that's so funny, but I'm glad that you think I'm funny. That makes me happy. You know, to have someone, to have people laugh at you is fun. It's a really fun thing.
It is. It's such a good stress reliever. My brother was like, you and Brian need to watch a little Office sometimes at night. It'll change your life. And I was like, okay. But we hadn't really been watching like any shows, but we've been doing it. And there is something to even laughing.
Yeah.
And, you know,
just laughing.
Just the jokes. And there's something about laughter that I think you have to be present because you're like the timing of things. You must, I almost wonder if it's, you feel very empathetic to me, not to project that, but you're able to really like be in other people's experience.
Totally.
It's like almost like the other
I want side. That.
Yeah. And I think to be able to deliver a good joke, you have to have that timing and kind of visualize how this will land.
Yeah. Then maybe that's it. I don't know. But yeah, that's also, I think, a good characteristic for everybody to try to, you know, emulate is just being empathetic of others. Just that. Take that one thing and just do that. Right? Wouldn't that be so different if everybody did that?
Yeah.
That small,
gargantuous thing called self-awareness.
Right? It's so important.
Because we're so in, I have such a tendency to internalize effect.
Okay.
I've kind of noticed almost like the threads of narcissism where like anything's going wrong, it's because of me.
Right.
Which is almost its own narcissistic thing because if you're thinking that you're the cause of everything.
Exactly. That's why I'm so disappointed in myself right now for just getting in my own head about what's going wrong with my day. It's like, it's not always about, it's not me necessarily. It's just, just let it go.
Well, and that,
is that hard?
Oh, it is so hard.
I wish I could just like turn it off, click, flip a switch or be hypnotized. But it's just like struggle every day with that.
It sounds so biblical. So it's funny that I like it because I'm not way religious. But my favorite affirmation is like, this too shall pass.
Right.
From Eckhart Tolle.
I have that on a t-shirt.
Do you really?
Uh-huh.
And I found when I actually say it in my mind, something about the thought, it creates a little bit of space.
Yes.
Because in the moment when like they're coming so quick and it's always, like the shadow side of having a really quick mind.
Yep.
Especially if you're comedic like that and can make people laugh.
I love that.
Your brain's probably like, this too shall pass. Give me some space.
This too shall pass. Or what's the other one? Everything is as it should be. Oh, I love that one.
And I am.
That's my
other favorite.
Like, judge nothing that happens to you today.
I love that.
There's so many things to like look at and think about.
Well, and it's funny. I never thought I'd be one for affirmations, but I definitely feel like the neural pathways. It's just like we joke that it's like a record player that goes round and round. So I'll literally listen to classical music in the car. And sometimes I like it, but I like it later on my record player when it comes. It's just like the mind. It's like not us. It's just its own machine.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if I could really teach my kids anything, I really want them to know, like, you're not your thinking mind.
Yep.
And sometimes, like, the reason why I love Amy Schumer is when I'm just exhausted and I can't do the work, like, I will, like, listen to her on Audible because she makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And it gives my brain a break.
Yep.
And then I'm like, okay.
You get a break.
Curate the thoughts. New tracks on the record player.
Totally. Totally.
So
comedy's so good.
She is. Comedy is so good. I wanted to ask before you go, just what would you like media and like women and how they are portrayed, like being a woman in the media, where would you like to see it go?
Currently, I think there are lots of leaps and bounds we're making with, you know, how we portray women in the, you know, with the feminist movement, you know, all that kind of stuff has really been beneficial. I still think that women are, and men, are objectified sexually. I don't know why. For some reason, that seems to be the major selling point for almost anything.
It is.
And it's just not cool. I mean, moving forward, I mean, why can't we, you know, just praise a woman for, you know, how awesome she bakes pies or, you know, somebody that does tile work or, you know, anything, any little thing. Let's just praise women for what they can truly do and how important they are. I mean, women are, we are the future. Like, we're everything. You give a woman a sperm and she'll give you a baby. You know, you give a woman an egg and she'll make you a cake. You know what I mean? Like, we create. We're amazing.
Yeah, I just see it a lot that I feel like there's a tendency for women to really get their power from how they... by how they're objectifying it.
Yeah.
You know, if they feel hot that day, they feel like they can conquer the world. And I just read this book called Girls and Sex, all about like the current like culture,
yes,
sexual culture in the U.S. Yeah. And that was like the biggest takeaway was just, we're still not losing. Women even objectify other women. Objectify men.
Right. It's super strange. It's super weird.
And even that word objectify, I felt like I understood the concept. And then after actually reading it, I was like, oh, right. I shouldn't be feeling like I can do more just because my pants are a little looser that day.
Right.
Like, it's just so easy.
It's terrible.
It's terrible.
I had a friend tell me, and it stuck with me, that, you know, men are conditioned to take risks. They're conditioned to step out and be aggressive. And women are not. We are conditioned to be like demure and kind and to step back. And if you take a step forward and you say what you mean, then you're a bitch and you're nasty. And that needs to be flipped. Because
you're so right.
Yeah.
That's the norm. Well, it might not be always. It is the norm.
It's terrible. Just because you speak up and you speak for yourself doesn't mean you're hormonal and crazy. And you can be a strong woman. Take that risk. Take a risk and get up there and do what you want to do. Put yourself out there. And like, you know, that's super important. That's, yeah.
Hell yes.
Especially in the media. So moving forward, that's what I hope women can do is like, be cool with being strong,
right,
and being yourself.
Well, and one of the reasons like I love doing this podcast is I believe like that you can always reinvent yourself. Like,
totally.
The kids, they just finished like their favorite show on TV, and it was called Troll Hunters. The thing I loved most about it was so good. But over and over again, they have like 4 or 5 characters that literally go from being like the antagonist to the protagonist. They just change. And I just want that celebrated. Like,
wow.
We can be different. We can reinvent ourselves. And the way they want to write people off, like you're out by saying crazy. Guess what? I had the amazing parents. I had all the investment. And you know what? I still feel broken sometimes where I'm like, wait, you crossed the line. You can't go back over. Once you're crazy, once something happens, you're done. No. Hell no.
Yeah, no.
Hell no. And if you haven't had a little bit of crazy, then I don't think that you're putting out there in your life and living, because you cannot be living in the intention of not ever failing or ever having something go wrong.
It's okay to fail. So you're very, very positive. Oh, you're very optimistic.
I didn't mean to like add my speech in there. Oh, but I totally agree. That is the move they do. She's crazy and I do not like it.
No, we're not crazy. You're not an avocado. You know what I mean? It's okay. It's okay. I have to keep telling myself that it's okay if everybody doesn't like you.
Wow, what a good one. It's okay if not everybody likes you. I'm in the same boat.
It's okay.
I do not like not being liked.
I hate not being liked. It drives me crazy.
Me too.
And I think that's the other thing in the media too, is just like constantly wanting to be like, how many people like me? Do what you do.
Yeah.
The people that truly like you for who you are, that's all that matters. You know what I mean? That's all that matters. Let's empower each other, empower women, empower little girls, empower your little boys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can all just hopefully, like 20 years from now, be a completely different country. Hopefully.
Thanks, Joni.
You're welcome.
Joni
Sprague on Instagram, at Joni Dodds, Dodds, on Twitter. I don't tweet a lot, but find me on there. Let's hang out. Let's chat.
Thanks, Joni.
Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you, as always, for listening. As I've sat with Joni's insightful words, I found myself leaning into projects that I previously would have reserved for Ryan, some of those bigger, more manual labor projects, and it's been really empowering. I also found myself attending my first body pump class this last week in lieu of yoga, just to try it, but I've never had the courage in the past to do it. But after talking to Joni, I went for it. I've also decided I'm going to paint Royal's bed, something that I've wanted to do but just didn't have the confidence to try. Thank you, Joni. Be sure to check out her show, Trading Spaces, on TLC. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.